Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Glory to God. You know, as we were praying and, forgiving those persecute us, use us, speak. Anybody been used? Don't raise your hand. You've been lied to. You know, everybody's been through that one way or another. But in the kingdom of God, in the tabernacle, there's that area. Sounds like there's a helicopter over here. There's that area that while we were praying and forgiving, one of the things that almost flew out of my mouth, and I wanted to say it, but it was like, no, don't say it yet, was the area of the reason why, you know, there's three chambers in the tabernacle, and each chamber has a different function, has a different anointing, and has a different language. And so many times when we enter another chamber, we want to live in the Spirit. The Lord talks about if we live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. In other words, by living in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. It's when you're not living in the Spirit that you fulfill the desires of the flesh. And one of the things the enemy wants to do is get you to sow in the flesh because he knows you reap corruption. And as you begin in your walk in Christ, and as you begin to continue to go from the outer court, which is salvation, but that's where the enemy likes to keep you. If he can keep you in the outer court, it's a lot more difficult. It's the closest thing to the outer darkness. One, living in the Spirit is not the outer court. It's the second court. That's why it's called the holy place, because it's this place of the Holy Spirit. And in this place is where there's another language. And in that language, we talk about tongues. But there's not only tongues, but there's a language of understanding. There's another terminology God speaks to us in another way. There's things that we understand more. It's another level. It's another area of growth. And when an individual enters another chamber and cannot understand the language, they go back. They have a tendency to go back because they only rely on what they understand, because their life is led on their feelings of understanding. And when the Lord tells us, lean not on your own understanding, because if you'll stay in that chamber long enough, you will understand that language. And not only will you understand that language, you will get the language and so forth. It's a whole nother realm. And the same thing in the most holy place. There's another language. It's another area of understanding. But so many times the devil and the powers of darkness don't want us, while God's getting ready to do something, he moves us out of the chamber because we're so easily swayed. And again, what he wants us to do is always sow in the flesh so we reap corruption. In that area, we're always in a state of repentance, 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 and never able to grow because we're so busy fighting our own sin. And we stay in the outer court. And I see that happen so much. I see people have already gone to the most holy place and come all the way back to the outer court and have been stuck there and stayed there. Many stay there till they die. Many stay there till they're about to die, or something happens in their life and they say, you know what, I need more of God. And in this area, it is so important for us to understand, because, you know, the world doesn't understand you, and they're not going to, because they do not understand your language. We speak a complete different language than the ways of the world. So that doesn't mean that we're going to, so we're bilingual, amen? Multilingual. But in that, there's got to be an understanding, not only of that area that we don't understand, not to move us, but to stand firm and stand strong and not be moved. We want to be immovable saints, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what's happening, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you're going through. It's important to know you'll get through it, because the Lord is faithful to come and get you to bring you through. You know, so many times we make decrees. And decrees are very important, because decree is like conception. And conception isn't birth. Things that you decree are birthed. See, they're conceived already. Now they must be birthed. And they are birthed by your intercession. So you're praying those in. So when you make decrees, what you've done is you've made it, you've conceived. And in that conception right there, you now make intercession to bring it to birth. But so many times people make decrees and they make intercession for a day or two and they give up and spiritual abortion comes. You know, there's something we've got to understand. Everyone say worst first. Everyone say it again. Worst first. You know, the word tells us that we were born in darkness, right? I would say that's the worst. But worst always has a tendency to come first. In that there's a purpose for that. You know, if we're born in a world that is complete darkness, ruled by darkness, and you and I are born in that realm, what we do is we learn darkness, don't we? It's a part of the tough time of our life. And when God pulls us out of it, because we've learned it, it gives us access back to it. So now he pulls us out. We learn the truth. We learn the light. We get filled with the Spirit of God. We live now in the holy place. The only time we go into darkness is to bring the holy place with us. We don't become darkness to enter it anymore. Jesus did that for me and you already. He became sin that he could enter hell. We don't do that anymore. Now we bring the holy place into darkness. It is a door of escape for them wherever you go. But we must come to an understanding that worst does come first sometimes. But there's something that we don't want to do. We don't want to think worst first. Amen? Even though things seem to be rough, we know the things. Because one of the things that God is doing sometimes is he's saying, you need to die more before I can give you this. So worst seems to come first. Remember, all of these transitions is so that we're changing more and more into his presence. Because one of the things that the enemy does in us is suppress the character of Christ. And we're constantly fighting so his character can be expressed. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. You mean that's why all hell breaks loose when you're getting ready to do something for God? Worst first. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 4. Or verse 3, sorry. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A memory lie. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Your obedience is to acknowledge and monitor those thoughts that are worst first. Has everybody got it? You're going to monitor those thoughts that are worst first. Because if you allow those thoughts to take dominion out of you and you speak that, then worst will come first when it's not supposed to. Hello? Pulling down lies of the past and agreements of the past. Experiences of heartache, hurts that may trouble you today and harden your heart, which hinders your growth and maturity in Christ. And Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. In verse 6 and 7, let's speak it. Do not eat the bread of a miser. That's one who puts an eye on evil. He's got an eye on evil all the time. One eye is one way, one eye. It's also a compromiser. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up and waste your pleasant words. So listen, as a man thinks, so he is. That's important why we monitor our thoughts and attitudes. Very important. Because while you're monitoring your thoughts, you can still have a bad attitude. And your attitude is one of the things that the devil likes to play with. So we must monitor our thoughts and attitudes. Again, we all think worst first at certain times of our life, don't we? And you know, especially if you've ever, you know, you get sick. And it's like, man, this is the worst I've ever felt. And the first thing you're thinking of, oh, see, I got cancer, I got this, I got that, I'm never going to this. You know, you start thinking the worst first. Because that's how the enemy operates in our life. That's how the carnal man is. It is negativity. It is the worst first. You'd be out there doing something trip or just out of nowhere. You just, something hurts. Oh, man. You know, uh-oh. What if it's this? Or what if it's that? Or somebody says something to you, first thing you think is worse. Oh, my gosh, I'm terrible. Nobody loves me. I'll never change. See, now all of these thoughts are coming, and you're just thinking of these things, and the enemy is just holding on to you, slapping you in the head, and he's just beating you silly. And you're agreeing with him now. And now he's saying, come on, speak it. Come on, get it out. Feed me. Feed me. And then when you speak it, he goes, yes, all right, now we got him. Because he's got a hook in your jaw. You bit the bait. See, this is again where we must monitor not only our thoughts, but our attitude. Your carnal arena always wants to speak worst first. Amen. Now, the Bible says that we go through trials and tribulations that were to count it all joy. Those are for our growth. Those are for testing, for teaching us endurance, for all kinds of things. And those are okay. That's a part of the worst first. But there's a worst first scenario where it's God's involved, but then there's a worst first where the devil's involved. Amen? Let me give you an example of Job. Go to Job 1. Job's cruising along. Everything's wonderful. The wealthiest man in the world. God says, I want to promote him. I need to promote Job, he says. Yeah, I know he's the wealthiest man in the world, but that's nice. But God wants to promote us spiritually. He wants to promote us more in his kingdom. In Job 1, in verse 8, then the Lord said to what? To Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. And Satan says, oh, really? Does Job fear God for nothing, he says. Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. He was the wealthiest man in the world, the most righteous man in the world. God blessed him, but there was something about Job that God wanted to promote. In fact, God wanted to use Job to kick the devil's butt because the Lord still had to wait a few thousand years more before he chained him and cooked him. So he said, I'm going to use Job to go after Satan. So he challenged Satan to go after Job. And he says, take away the hedge of protection around him. The Lord says, no problem. In verse 12, he says, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. We know that eventually he harmed Job. Job had boils and everything. He lost his family. He lost all of his wealth. He lost everything. Job's attitude got a little frustrated, a little nasty. But in chapter 42, there's something that happened. Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do anything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I've uttered what I did not understand and things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and what? Repent in dust and ashes. He realized his attitude during his trial had gotten pretty nasty, and he repented. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job that the Lord said to Eliphaz and Temanite, my wrath is aroused against you and your friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams. Go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall what? Pray for you. Job was like, what? Man, do you realize what just happened to me? You want me to pray? For I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So Elzaphah and Temanite and Bilite and Shuddite and the rest of the knights and went and did as the Lord commanded them, for the Lord had accepted Job. And verse 10, read it with me. And the Lord what? Restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job what? Twice as much as he had before. Worst first. See, things get worse before they get better. But don't get caught up in the worst. That's where it says, count it all joy. Amen? Count it all joy. And it's important that we understand this. Look at what happened with Moses. Go to Exodus 5. For some of us, things had to get worse before they got better. We even thought, how can it get any worse? And then it did. Hallelujah. Exodus 5. In verse 1, let's speak it together. After Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. So they said, the Lord God, the Hebrews have met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. Then the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people from their work? Get back to your labor. And Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are many now, and you have made them rest from their labor. So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, you shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before. You shall not reduce it, for they are idle. Therefore they cry out, saying, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Let more work be laid on the men, that they may labor in it, and let them not regard false works. And the taskmasters of the people and their officers went out and spoke to the people, saying, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go get yourselves straw where you can find it, yet none of your work will be reduced. Now, here Moses has this encounter with the Lord, tells him to go rescue my people. He goes to rescue the people. He goes to see Pharaoh. He tells all the people, listen, we're going to be rescued and be able to do whatever and worship the Lord, and we're going to leave here with all the cash, and we're going to be healed, and all of these wonderful things are going to happen. And the first instant that happens is nothing. Nothing happens. The thing that happened was they had to do twice as much work without straw now. So things got worse first, didn't they? But as time progressed and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, more and more of God revealed himself through the worst first. And at the end, we know that the Israelites, Hebrews, were released from the bondage of Egypt and Pharaoh, and they left with the gold and silver and the cattle, and they were all healed. But first, worst had to come. Amen? So when God tells you something to do sometimes, there's a time, and I'm not saying this happens all the time, but there's a time when worst seems to come first. Amen? But I want to share with you, just because the worst seems to come first doesn't mean that we think worst first. Amen? We're to count it all joy. We do not stay in the arena of worst first. Never. We are covenant children. We live from the future, not from the past. All of this is a part of training. This is the area where God wants to know if you're going to trust him or you. Hallelujah. In Romans 8. Everyone say, worst may come first, but not take dominion in my thoughts. You know, so many times something will be coming up and we'll say, we'll hear that voice say, oh, here it comes again. Here I go again. In other words, the enemy's trying to get you back into that worst first thought. Worst first thought. In Romans chapter 8, and verse 5, remember the carnal arena, the old man wants to have dominion. So he's going to do everything he can with the worst first. Is everybody there? Romans 8, 5, let's speak it together, okay? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But to those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor can it be. So it's always going to promote worst first thinking. Always does. But we're to have dominion over that. People walk in oppression because worst first thinking is always there. People walk in fear, worst first thinking is always there. People walk in anxiety, worst first thinking is always there. People always in the woe is me syndrome, worst first thinking is always there. People who live in the flesh, worst first thing. People do things because they're afraid of losing them. That's why sometimes people who are in abusive relationships and stuff like this, they're afraid to let things go because they're afraid that they can't do any better. Hello? Is everybody okay? The carnal mind is selfish. It is full of fear, anxiety, and pride. It's full of lust and anxiousness, and it loves to assume the worst. See, when people are living in that condition, we call that false captivity. Because as a man thinks, so he is. When Jesus says, what are you doing? You're free from that. No, I'm not. That's false captivity. You've been deceived. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed by day. For our what? Our what? Oh, it's our light. See, God looks at it as a light affliction. We look at it as, I'm in hell. How can things get any worse? You keep there, it will get worse. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Oh, why only me? is for a moment is what? Is what? Is what? Is what? Working for us for what? A far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Can everybody come and like highlight that in your Bible? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's if, now look at, if you recognize this, right? If you monitor this, then you're, this is, okay, see, all right, cool. Wait a minute, this is what the word says. I'm gonna believe that word. Then you don't get stuck there. Let me tell you, the enemy can only attack you on the same things he's already attacked you with. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Hallelujah. Our light afflictions. But they seem forever for us. Oh, when is this going to end? It did. The thing is now we're thinking the worst first, and we ain't out of it. You know, the affliction has ended, and we're still there. False captivity. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 12, again, those things will prevent, without monitoring these things, we will stay in an immature state. We'll become accusers of the brethren, always blaming everybody else, not willing to take responsibility, looking for the faults of the others. Not even judging ourselves, because it is a carnal way of thinking. It is an anxious way of thinking. It's an assumption. That assumption is always worst first. You're even thinking the worst of somebody else first. That is a terrible way to live. It is tormenting. Worst first. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Let me tell you, Paul was blaming Satan. Is everybody okay? He was realizing, look, at Paul had such powerful revelations, taken to the third heaven, all kinds of things happened to him. But he realized that something was hindering him. It's called his flesh, which is associated with the old man. But he was blaming Satan for this infirmity. He said, Satan buffeted me. I really don't think so. I think he was just realizing his flesh was in the way. So everybody got that. And now we know that Satan uses our flesh, amen? But when you get in the flesh, it prevents your growth. So he was crying out to the Lord for help. In verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Well, God would not take Paul's flesh because he needed him here on earth. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in what? My weaknesses. Therefore, most gladly I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Oh, hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, worst first. Again, we were born in darkness and we were born in sin. Worst first. We had to come out of that into the light of Christ and then constantly take the dominion over sin, the presence of evil, and monitor those thoughts that bring worst first. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, speak this with me. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. I would say that was worse first. Children of wrath. Amen. And Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17, verse 7. What does it say? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. In other words, when trouble comes, when the worst comes, he won't fear. Because he knows that the Lord thinks of him of good things. He knows that the Lord loves him unconditionally. And will not fear when heat comes, when trouble comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be what? Anxious. Everyone say anxious. In other words, quick to speak of the worst first. And will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. You know, when something happens to you, do you know, so many times that worst first thought comes. And then you want to tell somebody, you want to call somebody, you want to correct somebody, whatever it is. And you realize later you're an idiot. Oh, God, I can't believe I did that. You know, why didn't I wait on the truth? See, we've got to monitor these thoughts so we don't look like idiots out there. Amen. God loves us anyways, you know, even when we look like an idiot. But so many times we make wrong assumptions or quick assumptions by things that we see, and that worst first thought comes first. But let us not get there. Let us monitor those things and take dominion. It says, verse 9, read it with me. The heart is deceitful above what? All things. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, even to give each, every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doings. Hallelujah. In Hebrews 3, again, I want to re-emphasize the area that we know that we go through trials and tribulations. And we're to count them joy. So you can always, and I, again, many times before the best comes, the worst comes. And God wants to know whether you're going to settle for the good or wait for the best. So he's going to test you. Let me share something with you. When God has a specific predestined plan for each and every one of us, if we're not willing to fulfill the training for all of that, we will never reach that predestined plan. It takes cooperation. He'll use you wherever you're at, but depending on how much you want to be used by God. Amen? So there's that predestined plan that he has for me and you, and there's a training level of every area to get to that place to fulfill it. That's our goal. That's called the perfect will of God. But then there's the good and there's the acceptable. We're thriving for and striving for the perfect will of God. So you can be guaranteed that you're going to go through stuff. I guarantee it. Why? Because I go through it. Everybody goes through it. It might not be one day, but it could be 3 days. It might not be 3 days, but then it could be 3 weeks. But this is where we count it as joy. This is where it's so important, your relationship to the Lord, knowing that the worst first is because it's testing. So we don't assume the worst first, do we? Or speak the worst first of something else. We discern these things. We understand these things. We compare these things spiritually with the Word of God, with our past experiences, with other people's testimonies and experiences. We don't lose heart. We don't give up. We go forward. In Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear His voice and do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works 40 years, therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. Worst first thinkers. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 12, read it with me. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. So when there's an evil heart of unbelief, what do you think they're going to think first? Worst. And departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And sin is the presence of evil that is trying to influence you. Verse 14, read it with me. For we have become partakers of Christ if, that word if means your cooperation is required. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now, what do you think your confidence is? Your thinking. Amen? Your thinking. While this said today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In 2 Peter chapter 3. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Man, I could go on forever on this. Did you pack a lunch? Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are what? I'm not there. I'm blessed. But I'm not going to think the worst first, okay? Hallelujah. Verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be what? Diligently diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of the things in which are some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scripture. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the what? Error of the wicked. Now, what do you think the error of the wicked is? Worse first. But grow in the grace, which is God's plan, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And go to 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2. In verse 1, let's speak it. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. How many of y'all know that we need to be able to, what we got, we're getting here, we need to share with others? I mean, come on, you run across many believers that are worse first thinkers because they don't monitor that. Assumption and anxious, fear, everything. Worst first. Verse 3. Therefore, what? You must what? Endure. That word endure means have patience. Endurance. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, what do you think the affairs of this life are? Worst first. Welcome to the world of worst first. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say. May the Lord give you understanding in all things. Oh, hallelujah. I want to go to Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it. But as for you, speak. Everyone say, speak. The things which are proper for sound doctrine. So are you going to speak worse first or things that are sound doctrine? That the older men be sober, reverent, tempered, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much. Well, here, not given to any wine. Teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands and love their children, to be discreet, chaste, hardworking, homemakers, good mommies, obedient, submissive to their husbands, their righteous husbands, that the word of God may be may not be blasphemed. Amen? We won't go any further on that one. So we're to be a hearer of the truth to do it. Hear first. Do. Don't do, then hear. Because if you do before you hear, it's going to be worst first. So everybody got it? Amen? Hallelujah. My wife says, what about the men? All right, man. All right, we'll go there. I get a hallelujah from the corner over there. Verse 6. Is that where we're at? Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Has everybody got it? So one of the things we want to be able to do is speak the things, not of the worst. Amen? We're not going to do worst first. We're not going to assume the worst first. You know, I get many people that come to me and say, well, what did you hear this about me and whatever? And whether I hear it or not doesn't matter. I think the best of everyone. You have to prove to me that you're messed up. And we should think the best of everyone. Amen, no matter what. None of us is perfect. And be not one who judges someone else who practices what you're doing, judging them on. Because now you're sowing in the flesh, and you will reap. Amen? Is everybody okay? Let's go somewhere very important. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 4, what does it say? Love what? Suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Hello? Doesn't think the worst. Because what it's doing is nullifying the love of God. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Amen? Now think about this. If Jesus thought the worst of me and you first, we wouldn't be here. Amen? Yeah, we're to expose wickedness, but first expose it in yourself. Yes, we're to correct. Yes, we're to help. We're to be there. Amen? But never get into the place where you're always thinking the worst first. Get out of there. That's nasty thinking. That's nasty. Look at Psalm 103. Hallelujah. Psalm 103. Listen, you want to stop aging? I'm going to show you how. Start at verse 1. Bless the Lord, all my soul, not as within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems you with life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Hallelujah. Now you ready for this? Who what? Satisfies your mouth with what? Good things. So that what? Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. That's an aging stopper. You want to stay healthy and vibrant? Then you speak good things. Because what you speak is what you eat. And what you eat is what you become. Let's stop the worst first thinking. Go to Hosea 6 and we'll close here. We will age gracefully, God willing. In fact, you can stop any birthday you want, man. You know, you can quit at any time. Hallelujah. Yes, dear. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Come, let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will what? Heal. He is torn. In other words, we have fallen into that area of worst first. He says, come on, return to me, and I'll heal you. He has stricken, but he will what? Bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live in his sight. Let us know. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the what? Rain. Like the latter and the former rain to the earth. Let me tell you something. The Lord wants to bless us. And as the world gets caught up in worst first, we will be blessed first. But as the man thinks, so he is. That's why it's so important in fellowship. That's why it's so important in worship and the area of not forsaking assembling. That's why it's so important that we encourage one another. Amen? Yes, things are getting worse out there. But there's going to be an area where there will be false prosperity. And we will glean from it. While the world gets deceived, we will be ready. Amen? Praise God. No more worst first. Monitor those thoughts. And monitor that tongue. Amen. If you have to tie your tongue in a bowl, do it. At least there'll be something looking. Praise God. Father, we give you all glory and honor and praise. We thank you for your word. We ask that the seed be protected and grow and bear fruit for your glory. Again, we thank you for all the listeners and everyone that has joined us today in this teaching. And for any further expansion of understanding, revelation, and impartation, go to theeternallibrary.org. May the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.